how you doing? It's Zach Cassie.
Adam Henrique.
Gil Siddle. Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Everybody, my name is Drake Damore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only sports podcast featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more, every other Monday here on WindCitySports.com and anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'll remind you about that at the end of the show, but we do have a big social media presence, so give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use. Give us a subscribe or follow on whatever app you might use for podcasting as well, and leave us a nice review. At WindCity_sports is our handle if you're ever trying to find us. After almost 5 years, coming up on 5 years next week, I believe, 5 years of doing this podcast, we are easy to find now. WINCITY is all one word. With a simple search, you should easily be able to find us. Again, we'll talk about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Monday, May 24th, 2021. It's Victoria Day as I'm recording. We're going to drop this episode tonight. I'm actually recording right now in the intermission, first intermission of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens game. Nothing after one. This episode is coming to you late for a few reasons. Obviously, it was a long weekend, and I had to go do some golfing. First weekend that it was open in God knows how long. So I skipped Saturday, just, I figured it was going to be busy, had some other plans, and I was able to get out both Sunday and Monday. Beautiful days, both days, and beautiful day today here on Monday, Victoria Day. Yesterday, I was able to go to Rochester golf course out in the Bell River area. Rochester, as a lot of people might like to call it, and here in Windsor, I got to go to Ambassador today, one of the best courses in the definitely in the city and in the county for sure. That's where the Windsor Championship was held a few years in a row, the two years that they did it, the PGA Mackenzie Tour, the Pro-Am Tour. So very good course, and man, some good days out in the sun. And it works out perfectly too. Wasn't sure when to drop this interview. As you heard on the last one, I wanted to kind of split it up. So I figured we got a golf one coming up. Maybe we'll wait. You know, they just closed down the golf courses and all that crap. So let's wait until it fizzles out, and maybe we'll be able to get this guy. We already had the interview done, but maybe we'll get him back on when time is right. And even a week ago today, talking right now on Monday, I was like, you know, chances are it's not going to be open. It's not. So I was likely looking at doing this this episode at a time when golf courses weren't even open. But now we are able to drop this interview after the first weekend of golf being back in Ontario, in Windsor. We have a professional golfer from right here in Windsor, Ontario. He's been all around the world for the game. He's a coach and instructor now. He won the big break a few years ago, or almost a long time ago now, which we'll get into that in the interview, but it's kind of like an American Idol for golfers. You'll be able to hear it from the man himself. This week on the Wind City Sports Podcast is David Burney. David talks to us about, you know, growing up in Windsor, some of his favorite courses that he has around here, all the cool stuff he's been able to do through the game and travel the world. And, you know, coming back to Windsor, now he's back here in the Windsor area working at the new Swing Factory. We'll talk about that as well. Great conversation coming up with David, actually. And then following the interview, we're going to talk about anything that we might have missed in the last 2 weeks. Not a lot of news, but just some cool stuff that we might have missed, some anniversaries. Right now, 4 years ago, the Memorial Cup was going on in Windsor. Coming up on the anniversary of the championship game this Friday. So we'll talk about that and maybe some other things. Let's see if I can gather up. But basically, we're going to get into that interview with David Burney right now. Professional golf player, winner of the big break in the Swing Factory Zone, David Burney. Here we go.
All right. So right now on the phone, we have a professional golfer from Essex. He's a University of Detroit Mercy alumni and winner of the Big Break Indian Wells in 2010. He's now an instructor at the new Swing Factory in Windsor and probably elsewhere as well. David Burney, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course, man. So, like I said, we're always down to talk some golf, especially now the season is in full swing pretty much. And, coming off Masters Week, we have a lot of good golfers from around here, something that I'm still learning, and, of course, yourself is one of them, but kid from Essex, so I'm assuming you were growing up out there, and were you always into golf? Or?
No, I mean, I grew up probably like any Canadian kid. I played hockey.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got into golf. My uncle was a really good player in the area. And so I was always out at Sutton Creek or Roseland. That's where I kind of grew up. And then, yeah, I just kind of slowly stopped growing and slowly got better at golf at the same time. So hockey wasn't really much of a viable option anymore.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of committed to golf when I was about 16, 17, and then I went over to school shortly after that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, obviously, as I say, you're probably playing other sports as well, even if it be organized hockey or just whatever, you know, with the boys and girls in the neighborhood. But I was going to ask, you know, when did golf kind of start to take over? Obviously, you said it was when you're probably in high school, but did you kind of realize that you're like, I can be better at this and I can kind of work towards that? Was that kind of a thing at the time? Or
yeah, I mean, I was always a pretty good skater, but I wouldn't say I was a great hockey player. And I kind of felt like each year my stats got worse than that. And then with golf, I think when I was 12 or 13, I had won most of like the little junior events they have here, like the city puts on or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, okay. And then I didn't do too much until I was about, I think when I was 15, 16, and I started winning some junior stuff and going to the Ontario Juniors and kind of finishing top 10 or, hanging around, I guess. And, then I kind of was seeing some improvement. I was like, well, I love golf. I love going to new courses. I love the game. I'm a student of the game, and I just kind of started, like anyone, you know. With you being new to the game, you know, you hit that one shot for me. I had like a really good result, and then I was like, wow, maybe I can play with these guys. And then I started getting a little bit better, and then I kind of worked my way into a golf scholarship. And you know, even then, I never even expected to turn pro. And then something happened when after school, and I turned pro. Right, so just all a gradual process.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure your uncle being a good player in the area was really instrumental, because like, you know, at 12, 13, how do you kind of get into these tournaments? How does a kid kind of even think that that's a good idea? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like you're playing hockey, a lot of kids might switch over to baseball or something, but this is totally different.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty lucky. My mom's a professional figure skater in the area as well. She's caught, I think, for like something like 48 years. So she's kind of always been an athlete. So she talks to everyone. And she found out that there's certain registration. Like, obviously, everything's now online. But she would kind of look around at golf courses or ask other people about things and how to get in those events. And with my uncle being, most people in the area know him. He's such a nice guy. He kind of knew the events that he played in growing up, and he kind of put me there. And then obviously through talking to people and meeting people, golf world is very small, and you kind of hear about a few events here and there, or maybe I should go play in this. And my mom always somehow did a pretty good job of getting me into those.
But did you need some encouragement, like, look, this is a good idea? Or was it like, no, I don't want to play golf, I want to play...
No. I was put into every sport growing up, and my mom just said, you know, do whatever you want. And you know, I love golf. I live with my roommate here in Windsor now. Usually half the time the TV remote is lost, we just have it on the Golf Channel or Sky Sports. I love golf. I love everything about golf. I'm very lucky through golf to do some things. And yeah, I never needed any pushing. Like, I used to hit balls from 7 a.m. until maybe 9 or 10 p.m. with a flashlight. So it was never really much of an issue, the falling in love or continuing to play thing.
Yeah, just the passion for the game, I guess. There's a lot of things that you or people love about the game. There's a lot to like about it, you know?
Yeah, there's people that, I mean, for a while, I think when I was 16 years old, I was playing with a retired RCMP officer and a high school teacher. When I go up to Brampton, I stay with a lady who's 87 years old. She's awesome. She's a member at a club up there. Huh. Just through people I know. You know, I would never ever meet these people ever in my life if it wasn't for golf. And that's why, like, golf has kind of been my entire life.
Yeah, it's super cool, man. It's honestly, I'm kind of jealous, as we'll get into. I mean, like, I've talked to with a lot of different people in different sports. They make a living around a sport, and this has got to be a cool thing for you. And I mean, it all kind of started here. You got to travel around, and now you're back. What can you kind of say about the golf scene in Windsor-Essex? There's a lot of courses and some really good ones too.
Yeah, the golf scene in Windsor-Essex is starting to catch up. We've unfortunately been behind for so long. Mm-hmm. But I was out at Kingsville today. That place is phenomenal. That place is doing unbelievable things. Point West has been a news hotspot for people. You know, everyone loves Beach Grove and Essex, but even like when I grew up, Seven Lakes, the new course, like when that course wasn't around really when I grew up. And it's fantastic. So Ambassador with the new course, we're hosting the PGA Tour Canada event, assuming the tour takes off this year. Like we have a lot of good options in the area. And I mean, on golf courses now with COVID are just absolutely swamped. So it's the scene is getting better. And then the place that I work at, their Swing Factory, when we're allowed to kind of back open up again, we have the best technology in the world. So you can't go anywhere else to buy it. You don't have to travel to Toronto or fly to Calgary or fly to Florida. We have the, like, you can't get better. There's nothing better than what we have. So for the first time ever, Windsor's going to be able to, like, people will be able to come in, test the clubs out, see how far they hit it. We might be able to make some adjustments. They can play indoor golf as well. So it's going to be our ability to have our things at people's fingertips that they used to have to go to Toronto for are going to be close to home soon, which is going to be really, really nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I actually seen it or the Instagram page or something pop up a little while ago before you even mentioned that you were involved there, so we'll get into that as well. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but what are some of your favorite places? I guess we kind of already talked about it. Kingsville, heard great things about Kingsville. I got to get out there. Yeah. And like, just what were you like, yeah, your personal places?
Honestly, I grew up out at Sutton Creek, right? So that place is always kind of a little bit special to me. I spent a lot of hours there. I really like Kingsville. I think the Gold Nine is the most challenging and probably the best nine in the area. And you know, like if you have a chance to go play Essex, if you can get out there or whatever, Essex is the premier golf and country club in the area, just because they have a range and all that stuff. You know, Beach Grove is, I was the assistant pro at Beach Grove for a while, and their membership is awesome and they're fun. But it's just a little bit shorter golf course and there's not as many facilities that they have. I always kind of hop around, you know, Kingsville, Roseland, Sutton Creek. I kind of go around those areas a bunch.
It's cool. Like I said, there's a lot to offer. And then even when there's that much to offer, of course, a person like yourself probably finding, like, you know, this is a good spot to go, keep going back kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, of course, you're playing at a young age, like you mentioned. You're getting good. You're entering tournaments. And then you go over to Detroit Mercy to play. You said you you got a scholarship. How did that kind of come to be? How did you end up out there?
So a girl who won the Burger King Tour, which is now the Jameson Tour. Her name was Mandy Dupe. She's from Tecumseh, from Beach Grove, and I knew her growing up. She was over there playing and told the golf coach, "Hey, you should keep an eye out for me." I really wasn't, I mean, I was very okay. My grades were very okay. Like, I think I had like an 80 average and I was decent in Ontario, but like, I wasn't a standout by any stretch of the imagination. And he did, and he was super patient with me and my mom. And, I ended up going there just because it was a good fit. The first year, I think I drove back and forth when I had to come home to work on the weekend or whatever. But, it was a good fit for what it just seemed nice, close school. I got to be away from home, but still kind of to drive back home if anything would have happened or I need be. And like, you know, as I mean, there's really no other way to say it. Like, they offered me the most money. So, you know, it's a private Catholic school in the States. So, you can do some research on that, but they're not cheap. So, you know, it just kind of worked out financially. That was my biggest kind of determining factor. So I was over there and I absolutely loved every moment of it. So it was a great choice for me.
Yeah. And like you said, close to home. I mean, I was going to kind of ask, like, again, kind of in regards to recruitment and stuff, you could have ended up elsewhere. Of course, I figured it would have been a good thing to kind of end up in the golf scene in the States, just obviously just being placed there. You know, obviously you're going to school, but just the environment around you, right?
Yeah, it was very eye-opening, like, just in terms of even things that we were able to get being on a college team in the States, things that we did. It was kind of a whole, like, it's a whole operation over there, the NCAA, right? So it was pretty eye-opening, first kind of going over, kind of being, you know, being from Essex and not really, you know, it's pretty, you're pretty sheltered. Like, Windsor is very kind of, I don't know, close-knit, you know, everyone kind of knows everyone and whatnot, and they went over there. And it was definitely different at first. It took some adjusting, but it's I was happy that I ended up kind of staying. I had a chance to go somewhere else after my second year, but I stayed at Detroit.
Where were you looking at going or offered at least, I guess?
There's a guy named, you probably heard of recently, named Corey Connors.
Heard of him, yeah.
I took him on a recruiting trip to Detroit.
Oh, no way.
He ended up going to Kent State with our buddy Matt Hughes. And so they ended up, I kind of got wind through a few people throughout the summer that, you know, there was a chance that I could possibly go there. But Detroit Mercy was kind of home for me, and it was the place that I felt comfortable. And I love staying near State there, and I'm very happy with that move.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. It must be cool for you to watch Connors too. I mean, obviously, this past weekend playing.
There's a lot of guys now that I get to watch on Sundays. My buddy Joel Damon won a tour event in Mexico, or Punta Cana, I think, 2 weeks ago, a week before the Masters. And then Corey's out there, Mac and Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin. There's a lot of good Canadian players right now that are kind of coming up, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. And again, like, you probably cross paths with so many different players and stuff that people will know.
Yeah.
But the thing that is unique about the sport is, if I'm not mistaken, you know, everyone kind of has a different story. Like I was kind of talking before, I still almost don't understand how the whole thing works. Again, everyone's story is different, so we're going to talk about yours. But like, that's kind of why I asked about going over to the States too. Obviously, it's a lot bigger out there. And maybe would have helped you kind of get to where you wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that when you're a junior golfer growing up and you've been in Canada, like, you want to go to the States, you want to get a college bag, you want to play on a team, you get a golf scholarship, you can get your education, and you get to see how good your game is. You want to be over there, and then if you get recognized, you kind of make your roots there. Like, I went to school in Detroit, and then I moved to Orlando for 5 years and L.A. for 3.5. Right, so I was in the States for, like 13 years or so. You just got to be over there. They're just, their golf season down south is 12 years or 12 months a year. It's nonstop. You know, there's golf. Golf is very much a lifestyle there, where, like, what it's like here right now in the summer, that's what it's like down south. In a lot of places, a lot of states, right? So it's just, if you love golf, it's a place that, I mean, you don't have to be there. It's definitely a place where most people, whether they come back to Canada or not, they have some sort of, I don't know, tie-in, or they spend some time in the States in some sort of capacity in the golf world.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to make the comparisons, but, like, I always do. So analogy, like, you know, if you're playing hockey in the States, you want to kind of come to Canada to get that experience, right? It's kind of the same sort of thing where you want to go, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, I know that they have the Frozen Four over in the States, and that's big. But, like, obviously, you know, we get, like, Canada kind of pumps out the hockey players, right? So if you're close to the border, they might come a little bit north for some training as well. But, that's a decent analogy, I'd say.
Yeah, just for, like, the development too, right? Like, it's all
absolutely.
It's all beginning stages. But hey, I gotta interject here. Are you at, like, a driving range or something right now? I just hear, like, birds in the background.
I'm on my back porch. Oh, I don't know what's on down a back alley. If you can hear that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm just, like, I hear something's going on, but I hear, like, birds chirping and stuff. I'm like, he's rather sitting up. But you're like, oh, I'm gonna go for a walk before the rain hits here. So I'm like, is he still moving or what?
No. I took my dog for a quick run and then I came back. Yeah,
that's funny. But I don't know, to get kind of back on track here. So, I mean, you had your stint in Detroit Mercy, and then out of that, out of university is when you kind of went pro, but you went pretty much directly into the big break as well. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about a bit about, you know, how it all came to be and how it was for you.
Okay. Well, after school, I actually moved back here, and my final year in college, my coach, I really only had one. He's from Peterborough, but he lives in the States. He was my assistant at school, named Luke Lefebvre. He just said, have you thought about going to turn pro after school? And I said, no. And he's like, well, your short game is, like, unbelievable, but you're so bad at hitting the golf ball. I was like, well, that's awfully kind. And I was like, I mean, I've never really thought of it, but, like, obviously, like, I mean, I used to hit balls till like it was dark outside. Like, obviously that's a dream, right? Mm-hmm. So I graduated, I came back, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to teacher's college, and I applied for a job at the Gap, where I worked there for a day. And I went and I filled out this online form to get on Big Break. And in order to go on the show, you have to turn professional. So, like, I was technically an amateur when I went on the show. So I agreed to turn pro for the show because of the money you can win and blah, blah, blah. From there, I drove down, whatever, 17 hours to Orlando for an audition that I thought was going to be a day. It lasted, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And I hit some balls on camera, made a joke. And then they kept on. They called me. They said, are you ready for filming? If we pick you. And I was like, yes. Am I on? They said, we'll call you back. And then I got word that I was going to be on it. And then I ended up going on the show. I think it was filmed in January. And it ended up airing until the end of August, or like the last show was the end of August. So for the, that time, like I just said, I had turned pro. And for people that don't know, like, the question is, how do you just turn pro?
Yeah.
In golf, turning pro means you accept money. So I think over $750 or whatever the rules of amateur golf allows now. But, like, there's no, like, you know how if you go to the OHL and then you get scouted and then you go to the NHL? In order to, like, there's a lot of different varieties of professional golfers. There's golf pros on a golf course. There's professional golfers, which I consider myself. Mm-hmm. And there's got like guys in the PGA Tour that can even, because those are tourist pros, right? So there's a bit of a different avenues, but if I really wanted to say, like, I'm a pro golfer and I graduated college, like, I'm playing professional events now, I put my money in and I can sign up and that's it. It's not as complicated as people think, but the once you turn pro and you get into events and you try to work your way up to the PGA Tour and whatnot, the inner workings of that become so absurdly complicated, it's impossible to even kind of go through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, another comparison, just like moving up the ranks of any sport, right? It's like you do all that work to get there and now you got to start all over again, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Every like each place is like a stepping stone.
Right? Yeah. And then you get to the quote-unquote final stage and it's a huge mountain to climb, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the toughest one, right?
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of go, so it's actually interesting because reading about you, it says, you know, you go pro out of university college. Or college, yeah, and then, you know, you go to the Big Break, but you pretty much did it for that.
That's what, people, if you're just reading, that's the thing, is people don't really, like, I had to sign a bunch of waivers and
yeah.
I was under legal obligations and stuff, so, but yeah, you, if I were to go and win the show, which I did, and they have to accept money, which I did, you have to turn pro. You can't accept that much money and still go and play the Ontario Amateur and the USAM or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, something. But for people that don't know, like, the show is like a reality show for golfers, like, looking to, I don't know, like, get on tour and stuff, and they go through all these challenges.
Yes. It's pretty much, so it's Survivor meets Big Brother for golf.
Yeah.
So you live in a house with these people, you hang out with them, but you go to the golf course and you do challenges, whether it's, like, hit ball over a wall, make a five-footer, hit it close to the fairway, a bunch of challenges involved in the game of golf. And you work your way down to two people. It was me and another Canadian guy, and then I won, and then that was how I actually got into a PGA Tour event. I played in a PGA Tour event in 2012 as a result of me winning that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, what do you remember from those times? Because now, like, not only are you going for, like, a professional golf kind of thing, but this is, like you're filming a show, you know? It's kind of right. Hollywood, right?
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different. Like, the first day when I landed, I remember we get off the plane and there's a camera. There couldn't have been more than three or four feet in front of my face. And I was like, oh, this is pretty odd. Like, this is weird. They're like, so how are you feeling? And I'm like, I feel like you're a little too close to my face.
Yeah.
But it was funny. When I landed in Detroit, when I got off the plane to come home, I picked up my bag and I was like, I was finally by myself. I had no cameras, no buddies, hanging around, nothing. And I remember thinking, like, kind of weird, it's kind of nice, like it was. I got so used to them being there. After the first couple of days, you don't really notice them, and I know it's kind of like you hear people say that. I've watched a bunch of reality TV, people say you don't really notice them after a while, but it's kind of true. Like, you're so hyper focused on what you want to do, like hitting a golf shot, and you're so nervous that you kind of just forget that they're there. I mean, yeah, I remember, I think the one time I had a guy driving a car, he was on the right side of the golf cart and I was driving, and he was asking me a question, and I was just kind of driving as if somebody else asked me the question, and he was hanging off the side with the camera, and like I ran him into a tree. And like, that wasn't a great moment that I did, but like, you just are like, oh, the person's just here. Like, you don't really think much of it, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it becomes very, very normal after a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, those are the things, those are the challenges. And that's pretty much what you like need, right? Like, for any kind of professionalism, like,
yeah,
you kind of just have to be focused, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, from there, like, is the thing, like, the winner gets an opportunity on tour? Is that, like, the end goal for that show kind of thing?
Yeah. So, like, when I won the show, I won cash, and then I got into the PGA Tour Reserve Classic of New Orleans in 2012. And then I got a sponsorship from Adams Golf, and then Dick's Sporting Goods as well, $10,000 for Dick's. But I, yeah, so I played at that, which was a great experience. I think looking back, I wasn't as good of a player as I am now. I wish I would have that opportunity now. I think I would maybe take advantage of it a little bit more. But it was just obviously something I'm gonna remember. Like, I played a PGA Tour event. I got to play with the number one player in the world in the practice round.
Yeah.
It's for a guy growing up in Essex, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. Is just. You know, one day you're a kid from Windsor doing your thing, and then it's like, oh, maybe I'll go pro. I guess so. You know, like, and here we are, right? And then for a bit, you know, since the show, you started obviously kind of traveling around doing tournaments, events. Like you said, you lived in Florida and LA, and just we're living the kind of the golf lifestyle for a while, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Florida doing I was in Florida golfing, and then I moved to LA with the girl that I was seeing at the time, and I ended up. I met a guy named Osimo who started a company called G4 from a pro-am that I won in the Hamptons the year before. And I was out there and started caddying at Bel Air and, like, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. I was working at Bel Air Country Club as a caddy.
Nice.
And I got to caddy. I mean, I was fortunate that I got to know the guys that I did. But, you know, I caddied for Gretzky and Bobby Orr and Steph Curry and Elway and guys that I never thought that I would meet. Justin Verlander, usually every like Friday and maybe sometimes Sunday, depending on the season. And it was whether it's like them, people in movies or people people I never thought that. I mean, why would I ever meet those people? And then where I'm texting them saying, "Hey, do you want your bag brought up for golf today?" Or just like all these different sort of different people from all different walks of life, but a lot of athletes. It was a wild couple of years for sure. It was really, really neat.
That's so cool, man. I mean, everybody plays golf, right? So like anyone could walk in there.
That's the thing. And that's what I never honestly appreciated golf in its entirety until I started caddying at Bel Air, because these guys are out there doing business, and they're not doing small business. They're mm-hmm. they're talking about some numbers that are pretty uncomfortable, and they're out there playing golf, you know, and they'll be like, "How did you get to know this guy?" He's like, "Oh, we saw him at the bar the one night, and he said he golfed, and we were having a great time, and I brought him out to Bel Air, and he brought us out to LACC," and I'm just like, golf is just like that. Golf, that's, you just meet people, and people love golf, and it's, you can have 15-year-old girls playing with 80-year-old ladies, and vice versa, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a great game that way.
Yeah, and it's for everybody. That's the thing, that's why you love it so much. There's so much to love about it. Just the atmosphere is really the greatest thing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great to be outside. And I think now with obviously the pandemic, people are kind of starting to maybe appreciate and realize that, you know, it does offer this exercise that, you know, you go out there and hit a ball around, but you walk around for 6 miles and you exert some energy. That's a good bit of exercise for the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, even in, you're tired by the end of the day, no matter what.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And, you know, so glad that they kept the golf courses open in our most recent lockdown. I know that was a big thing.
Yeah. I had a tough I wasn't
yeah, we were all over the place for a bit, like,
yeah,
they're open their clothes but hey man, you decided to come home obviously at some point, and you know, how did that kind of decision come to be?
Well, without getting into too much detail, I had to come home. I was in that kind of an unfortunate or bad personal situation. And I kind of was forced to kind of come home. So I came home and kind of started over. I was in a pretty awful spot. When I first came back, I moved back in with my mom out in Essex, for a little bit there with my dog. And then honestly, yeah, I was kind of figuring it out for about 2 years when I first moved home, trying to, like, I wasn't playing much golf before I came back. And then I started playing again, started playing really well. And so I've kind of like I would say last year I played pretty much a full schedule of events. And this year I'm hoping to do the same, but with a little bit more teaching and whatnot. So, since I came back, it's been a bit of more of a personal finding than anything else. But, I'm back here now and things are looking up, which is nice.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. I wanted to kind of bring it back to home now, because obviously, you know, you travel around the world and you make it back to Windsor here, and you got to play in the Windsor Championship. You kind of alluded to it earlier at Ambassador, you know, if it might have another one this year, but it must have been cool to play an event like that this time at home.
Yeah, I mean, I did it in 2012 when we played at Roseland. Mm-hmm. I think I was tied to lead after the first day there, and that was neat. But yeah, I played PGA Tour Canada for 4 years, right? So they just never really had a tournament for 13, 14, 15 in Windsor. So I never really got to play in front of people here. And, you know, now that I'm back home, now I have a bit of a wider group of friends. So they came out and watched me in the Monday qualifier the one time. And if they do have it here, I'm hoping to get a spot, if not to qualify into it. And, you know, I still feel as if very much so that, you know, I am very confident that I can play with some of the best in the world, so hopefully I can get that chance to do that.
Yeah, 100%, man. And so as of now, it's kind of still on the back burner, still waiting to hear?
Yeah, I would say, because right now you can't cross the border. A lot of South Americans and Americans would have to cross the border, so they moved the last qualifying tournament from BC to Washington, I think. And so I think that they're hoping that the border will open after that, because they have, I think, 12 events across Canada this year. Obviously, I don't know if that seems to be the most realistic outlook at this point in time, given what we're facing, but I hope to God that event somehow happens, because I think it'd be great. I think it's always great when an event like that comes to Windsor. It puts a lot of things in perspective for people, and it gives them an appreciation, and you can get to see some of the best players before they are the best in the world.
100%, man. And it's like one of the events that we should be able to pull off right now, so hopefully we're...
Exactly. I think the only issue is going to be the border stuff,
because
there's so many people that fly to and from the States, or from Argentina or Japan or whatever, right? So it's a very international tour now. So,
well, and not that we need to get into this, but I'm really hoping that in a couple months we have a different lifestyle in the whole world, you know? So
yeah,
fingers crossed.
I think most of us do. Yeah.
For sure, man. And I mean, like you said, right now it's a little bit difficult times with the whole situation in Ontario, but you're working at the new Swing Factory when it is open. Again, I kind of heard of it. We talked about it before, and we'll just kind of go through it. You said it's kind of like a facility where you can come to rent a simulator. You can probably get lessons, you know, just a full performance center, right?
Yeah, and it's going to get better. My buddy Wes Stewart opened it, honestly, probably a month ago, and I think we've been closed for the last 2 weeks. So, but it's three TrackMan simulators. You can go in there with your buddies, and when it's open, and play some of the best golf courses, like virtual golf. You can go in there and practice and work on the distancing if you want to see how far you're pitching, right, to your 9-iron and your 8-iron, all comparison to one another. Soon we might try to do some fittings in there, where if you want to come in and you swing your driver, we can get you set up to where you're going to help you hit it a little bit straighter, hit it a little bit farther. And then on top of that, we're selling our pro shop, where we sell stuff, is going to be all kind of like boutique type stuff. So we're going to have G4 in there. We have an all-Canadian company called Birdie Tobogi. Birdie Craft is in there. We're going to be, I think we're selling Super Speed Golf. It's not, you know, it's just opening. But I think that in the next year to 2 years, people in Windsor, they're going to really, what Wes has done for golfers in Windsor, you know, everyone in Windsor owes him kind of a big thank you, because we are sitting so far behind, you know, with the ability and the access to data and technology. And you know, Wes has this public access facility. I teach out of there. So it's, there's nowhere else that has better. There might be facilities in Toronto that have four of them instead of three of them, but if people don't have to go up there now to get their proper numbers and spend a whole day on the 401, they can literally just come to us. So, which is great, because I was the guy who was doing that my whole life. I was driving up the 401 and making friends with people in Toronto and having so many people help me out when I just wish we could have done something in Windsor. You know what I mean? So now we have that, which is fantastic.
Yeah, man, it seems like it's the what we're missing, you know, for the golf scene.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we got it now, so I hope it's just going to take some time to kind of all develop into it a little bit. And I'm super pumped about it. It's great.
Hell yeah, man. And, you know, is that pretty much your full time? Well, you know, between the Swing Factory and playing, is that it? Or are you involved in anywhere else?
Yeah, no, I work at the Swing Factory. I give lessons there. I do play professionally, and I work at a restaurant downtown called Honorable Sushi and Sliders.
Oh, heard of it.
I've been there for a couple of years. Yeah, so it's a fantastic spot. The sushi is, I mean, I work there. I haven't ever had a complaint in the 3 years, and I've heard it's the best in the city. So I've been there, and my boss is fantastic with me about my golf stuff, and we got a pretty good thing down there, of course, when we're allowed to open. So I've been there kind of spending a lot of time there in the winter, and then in the summer I take a bit of a hiatus and I kind of go in when I can, but everyone's great, supportive of my golf and whatnot there, so I love it there. It's a great spot.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Great, that is a great spot. Great top, definitely in the top three in sushi. It's an arguable thing, but in Windsor,
yep,
of course, but
yep,
definitely up there. Love it. But hey, man, it's cool to hear. I mean, again, a guy from Windsor, a kid out of Essex, really, making a living off one of the greatest games / sports ever. It's cool to see. So thank you for taking the time to do this and coming and telling your story on the show.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, all right, all right. There we have it. David Burney on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Renowned golfer here in the Windsor Essex area. Instructor at the Swing Factory. Brand new facility, too. I still haven't been able to go out there. I was planning on actually, we were going to do this interview in the progressions of our lockdown. We were planning on doing it. Even with, you know, the first lockdown or the first stage or whatever the hell, the Swing Factory is still open, and I was going to go down there, meet them, and, you know, do a little session, just swinging, and then they decided to, you know, no, let's close that down too. So I wasn't able to do it in person with David. We got to chat on the phone, of course, but still got to get out there to the Swing Factory and check it out. Top-notch facility, and like we talked about, at least it seems like, and like we talked about, something, the only thing in Windsor Essex, you know, there's no other facility like it. So thanks again to David for taking the time to do that. Again, just quite the life to live, to be a professional golfer, be on TV, be on a reality show, and travel the world, play the game, you know, get to do some cool things throughout the game and cross paths with some cool people. Again, like talking to Luke Warnick at the beginning of the year, he dropped some cool stuff on us, you know, being able to caddy for Mark Wahlberg and stuff like that, and didn't even think to ask David those kind of things, but sure enough, he got to do it as well. Watching the Leafs game here is getting a little intense, but yeah, I mean, cool stuff. Again, a guy from Windsor, that's what it's really all about, you know, that's what the Wind City Sports Podcast is entirely about. So I'm happy to be able to tell David's story here on the show, and hopefully see him pop up at some more events, you know, as they start to come back, you know. The U.S. Open was championship, sorry, was this weekend, and crowds are back, man. What a crowd that was following Phil Mickelson through his triumphant win in that fantastic tournament this past weekend. So looking forward to some more stuff popping up here in Canada, hopefully by the end of the summer, maybe next year, and see David get back into it. I know he mentioned he wants to try to maybe get back into competition. So time is coming up. Let's do it. Let's get back to normal. Let's get these events going. Open up. Speaking of which, it looks like the Detroit Grand Prix is definitely going down. All the events are going down there, and they're trying to work with Canadian fans ahead of it's actually or better even yet, just to the island, right? So you can set something up. Again, time's ticking for that, that's for sure, but they are at least looking to try and help us out. just going through the Twitter feed here, PowerPlay Sports has been killing it with all of their stuff online. They released a new video, a lot of videos, you know, rocking that hashtag Windsor Essex Sports, and it's what we're all about here. So keep it up to the boys and girls over there. Windsor native Jacob Robson, he's killing it in the Double A. Hopefully he's going to get called up eventually, if not this year. Still waiting and hoping to see that Windsor right in the MLB, so we can have at least one in every major sport. Mentioned it many, many times here, but we also have Windsor Spitfires Matthew Maggio and teammate Xavier Medina, the goaltender, and Ryan Abraham playing in the PBHH Hockey Showcases, organized by some OHL players since they didn't get to play at all this year. They're organizing in a tournament, I believe, in Michigan. In Plymouth? I don't know. But or maybe in Flint? No, that doesn't sound right. But they're organizing an event, and all these OHL players are going to be put on teams, on squads, and they're going to showcase their talent since they weren't able to do so this year through the regular season. And the OHL is telling you to mark your calendars for October 7th, 2022, or 2021, sorry. I feel like 2022 by the time this happens. But they've set their key dates for, opening season for the next season, if we actually get to have one. It looks like this time they definitely are anticipating it starting October the 7th and concluding on April the 3rd. The 7th through 30th of May will be the OHL playoffs, and then off to the Memorial Cup. They've also training camp and stuff like that. So looks like the OHL is back. We'll see how it plays out here in Ontario. And I guess the last thing is the Memorial Cup. Again, as we mentioned at the top of the show, 4 years ago to this day, the tournament was going on this week. And this Friday is the anniversary of the final game. Obviously, our Windsor Spitfires winning it in a 4-3 final here at home against the Erie Otters, the touted team of that tournament. They had all eyes on them. And the Spitfires overcame them in one nail biter of a game. We talked to many players and coaches about that run. We had Rocky Thompson on this year, and there's a YouTube video, actually a clip of him talking about that entire run on our YouTube channel. So check that out as well, and check out that interview. Check out all of our interviews, because that is it this time on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're here every other Monday with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or WinCitySports.com, and anywhere podcasts are found. Simply search us up, WINCITY, all one word. Give us a follow, subscribe, and review on whatever app you might use. We're also on social media, every social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube as well. We have the YouTube channel, so give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, and keep up to date with us. No matter what, we're always going to be posting stuff about local sports news, as well as our podcast and events and stuff going on in Windsor and the surrounding area. Hopefully things start to pick up a little bit, and we'll have more to share with you. But we're always posting some fun stuff and sharing some fun stuff on our social media. So give us a like, follow, subscribe. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, @DrakeDeMore. But until next time, smell you later.